Amen and pleasant evening to you all. My name is Wilson Paul Joseph. In the back is my wife, my only wife. I am the husband of one wife, just in case you're wondering. And I got two boys, Josiah and Jonathan, Double and Trouble. Just in case you're wondering, they too are a handful, but I thank God for my boys. God has saved me. I got no doubt about that. If it's one thing I know, when I leave this wretched world, I am certainly going to be with the Lord. God has taken me out from a life of gang and violence and drugs, and I was a terrible human being. It was so bad that even my mommy and my daddy gave up on me. They said, boy, listen, hey, nothing good would come out of you. And I thank God for being the exception to the rule that God always do what seems impossible with men. And so God ended up saving me. It wasn't long after that God saved me, and I thank God for his saving grace. Now, we do engage in a number of ministry, but my calling is usually for the small things, the struggling things, the dying things. I believe the things that are dying needs to be strengthened, and so as a result, I am certainly know in my heart that's exactly what the Lord wants me to do. And so I serve as a pastor and as a missionary at Bethany Baptist Church. We recently, with Brother David, started a work there in Layu, and we're hoping that we can get a building so we can start having Sunday morning service. For now, we have Monday night Bible study at the waterfront. We go down with a little tent. I think it's 20 by 15. We got a couple of chairs, and I walk with the guitar. We get down there, we sing some song, we pray, and we study with the folks in our community there in Layu. It's about 10 to 15 people on a nightly Monday night out there in Layu. So pray that God would provide us with a place that we can rent or lease or whatever the case might be, what works best in the eyes of the Lord, if it so be his will. As you've seen in the video, I do engage in the school distribution of Bibles. You know, we give Bibles to the children. We do it in the police station. We do it in the health centers as well. We go in, we preach the gospel, we pray with the folks, and we share, you know, with them, you know, the most important truth under heaven, that Jesus loved them, he died for them, and he rose again the third day. And if they would repent and believe, that Jesus certainly would save them. And so we do that all the time. When the boxes are empty, we take that boxes back, some of them, to the church. My wife and I, we have committed to doing what we call the act of kindness. We have been to many villages, and we realize there are a lot of people that are way unfortunate. And it's quite frankly, we, as much as we love preaching to people, we also want to make sure that if a man hungry, we can give him a meal, at least a meal. So we'd fill those empty boxes with foodstuff, as you know, the Lord would provide, and we would redistribute that into our communities there in the island as God would so provide for us. We thank God for his faithfulness in doing so. I do want you to pray for me. I do hoping that they would allow me to use the community center in our area, the government-owned community center. But I want to start a sewing program for the young men and for the young ladies that is, you know, doing nothing, you know, just wasting their life away. And I'm hoping that God would give me the opportunity to teach them a skill. And while teaching them a skill, I get to share the gospel of the grace of God with them. God has provided all the machines that I need to do that. And so I thank God for his goodness. You can thank God with me for providing that as well. I suppose because he provided the machines, he certainly could give the opportunity for us to use the community center. So continue to pray for us where that is concerned. And our journey back, we leave on Saturday. Our intention is to go to the community of Mesopotamia. There's a lot of people in there, about 7,000. You know, it's a big community, and we don't have a Baptist church on the inside. I'm hoping to start one in that community. So I'll go survey the land, set up Bible tents, distribute Bibles, distribute tracts, walk through and through the community, preach in the night in that community as well. And hopefully we're going to see the reception as God directs. And by the grace of God, we'd go back with a big tent. And hopefully we can stay there for about a month and just preach and, you know, trust in God to save souls. And then we can get a church planted in that community. I know it's harder than it sounds, but I'm certain it is God's work. And if anybody can get it done, it is our God. I am mindful that it is him who can do the impossible. impossible. And so there is nothing to hide for him. So just remember us as we desire, you know, to continue to serve God there in the islands. It is a necessity that we do. Our Baptist churches, they are decreasing. And every other false religion is increasing. So you know it is bad. And I'm just going to be very honest with you. And our nation had increased rapidly in violence. You know, poor capital, we above America in crime. Make no mistake. And so it's bad. There was one time we were preaching, and they had a drive-by somewhere lower down the road. We were preaching, and I was telling Brother David, eventually we may have to come out here with bulletproof vests to preach the gospel because it was getting really bad. And, you know, we got to be careful while we're out in the night. Everything bad seems to happen around the nighttime. But somebody got to go out nonetheless, you know, because people need God. The crooked, the straight, you know, the righteous, the unrighteous, everybody seems in this day and age do need God. The religious men need God, and all the violent men that we encounter certainly need God. It's a risk, one would say, but then nothing better than serving God in such places because we see God's power to save as only he can. I say this before we get into the message, John chapter number 4, if you will turn there while I say this last thing as it pertains to, you know, what we've been doing. We were preaching in Upper Stubbs, and you know, our last night came around and we're preaching, everybody's packing up and they're going home, you know, and myself and my brother CPO and Sister Sharon, we stay back because we are packing the tools on the truck. And so while we're there packing, everybody has left. A young man came up and he came to us and he said, "Preacher, I need some help." I said, "For what?" He said, "I need to be saved." And so everyone is already gone. And that man left his home and came and trust God. I say that to say, folks, listen, God is such a powerful God. It's amazing that a man could leave his home and walk all the way up the road and come directly where we've been preaching, and he would trust God right there and then. Today, he's one of the most faithful men that I have in the church. And right now, we're training him by the grace of the good Lord that hopefully when I start another church, he can stay in where I am right now, and then I can go on to start another church plant or to revive another one, you know, as the Lord would see a fit. And so just pray for us. You know, God is good and he's faithful. He would continue to make a way for us. He have never left us undone, neither my family, neither the ministry. God has been more than faithful to us, and we thank him for being that. Again, we say thanks for the opportunity that you have given us to be here with you tonight. We certainly do love such an opportunity. And so to the church, I do want to say thanks in advance. All right, if you will, John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. And I'm just going to read for you quickly, and then we'll get down to the Lord's business so you can be out of here. In John number 4, verse 35, and if you're following with me, he says, "Say not ye, there are yet a 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wage and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and the other reapeth. I say to you, I sent you to reap that whereon he bestow no labor, other man labored, and ye are entered into their labor." Our Father and our God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. For Lord, we are mindful that God, you're great and you are greatly, O God, to be praised. Father, beside you, there is none else. Father, we pray for the church folks here tonight. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that Lord, you would meet their every need. And Lord, you would help them, oh God, Father, in their journey as they live for you. Father, we pray, oh God, for those of us, oh God, that are out there, oh God, Almighty God, on the mission field, that Lord, you would remind us it is your work. And Almighty God, our duty and responsibility is to stay faithful to you, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, oh God, even as we open the engrafted words, that Lord, you would enlighten, empower, encourage, rebuke, or reprove, God. And Father, when all is said and done, we'd say it was good to be in the house of God. Father, we sure love you. We appreciate you for all that you have done and for all that you will do. For these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. In verse 35, the Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. Folks, with that verse being reiterated in our minds and being highlighted, I do want to preach under the subject for a little while. Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. No if, no buts, and no maybe. I am certain that time is of the essence. In the text, what we realize, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's giving them a sobering warning against procrastination. It is important that in context, Jesus warned them. In contrast, he's still warning them. In consideration, he's still warning them. But in concern, he's still warning them. Time is of the essence, meaning it is of vital importance. It is essential. It is crucial and of the utmost importance. It is necessary that what needs to be done immediately. There is no time to delay or time to waste. I find it rather interesting that for us as God's people, we ought to be reminded that time is not a luxury, as some of us may think, but we ought to be mindful. For the man that is on his way to hell, time is not a luxury. But for those of us who already know God and God has entrusted us with the greatest message under heaven, we too ought to be mindful that time is not a luxury. However, time is of the essence. It was Jesus who said to them, he said, listen, hey, it is easy for them to discern the skies. They can tell, you know, whether it's going to rain or whether it's sunshine. But Jesus told them in a nutshell, but the time in which they lived, they were unable to discern. But the Bible also tells us that, listen, Jesus had warned them on several occasions. In Ephesians, in chapter 5, the Bible says to us, he said, wherefore, he said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that he walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible tells us, this know also that in the last days perilous time will come. The Bible is warning us of how time is going to get worse with time. Things are going to get worse with time, and if ever there be a need for God people to arise and to do something, it is now. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, the Bible said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. All those reminders are for us as God's people to understand there is an urgency when it comes to time. And we ought to be good stewards in utilizing the time that God has so fortunately afforded us. It is sad, however, we live in a time where people have time for everything else but God. Folks, there are people who have time for the gym, they have time, listen, for family gathering, they have time for work, they have time for the social club, they have time, listen, hey, for shopping, they have time, listen, hey, for everything under heaven. But when it comes to God, they're always busy, or they have little or no time for God. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he wants them to understand something. He said, listen, I know in your mind you perceive that you have 4 months and then you can have it. But Jesus wants them to realize you do not have 4 months before harvest. Folks, I'm saying that so that we understand tonight, there is a great deal of people right here in America, right here in Georgia, there is a great deal of people all over the Caribbean, or in the world at large, listen, hey, that do not have 4 months, and accepting you and I, listen, hey, bear the responsibility and do as God has commanded us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We may wait for 4 months, but may I say to us tonight, that 4 months will be very well too late, because some people don't have 4 months. If you wait 4 months before harvest, when it's already ripe and ready to harvest, 4 months later, it would be rot, it would rotten, it would decay, and it would be of absolutely no good to nobody. Think about how many souls that perish because you and I tell ourselves, I'll do it tomorrow. God, I'll do it a couple weeks from now. God, I'm waiting a more convenient time like Felix. That's not how life works. Because when it comes to the gospel, there is not, as one would say, an appropriate time to tell somebody if they die without God, they're going to go in hell. There is a reason we visit sick people on the hospital bed and remind them of the need to trust in God. Even though we know they're sick and some of them are still in pain, guess what we do? We still tell them the harsh truth and the reality that if they die without God, they're going to still go to hell. So if they think suffering now is bad, if they die without God, we remind them it is worse. The worst is coming. Folks, I say that to say, because in the text, Jesus wants his disciples to know that they're in time. He also realized that they perceive that they do. They're thinking in their mind, we have time. But time ain't a luxury, not in this world. Because time is a constant. It never stops. But I realize oftentimes we run out. The clock goes on, but you and I run out. Because we have failed to do what needs to be done with the time that God has given us. Folks, notice in the text, why would Jesus say that to his disciples? He's calling their attention to observation. Why? Because the reality is a lot of people do not understand the time in which you live because they don't take the time to observe the time in which you live. They're not careful observers of the condition of the country, of the condition of the state, of the condition of the communities, of the condition of the church. Listen, hey, oftentimes people are not careful observers. Notice what Jesus said to them. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field. He's not asking them to gaze or take a glimpse. He's not asking them to glimpse, sorry. He's telling them, listen, I want you to take a long gaze upon the field. I don't want you to glimpse it because a lot of time people miss the truth of all that is happening because they take just a glimpse rather than taking a gaze. Jesus said, behold. He wants the undivided attention and he wants them to pay attention with intention so that they do not miss what he's trying to tell them. He wants them to get it right. He's telling them, I know you perceive that you have 4 months and then commit harvest and then you're going to go and do something for God. But I'm saying, church, listen, hey, for many of us, time is running out before we can do something or accomplish something for God. I would like to say, listen, hey, as the Apostle Paul, when all is said and done, I have fought the good fight. I finished my course. Listen, hey, I would like to say, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but to all day. That love is appearing. Church, I'm saying, listen, hey, time is of the essence. And for many of us, it is running out because we keep telling ourselves, man, I have another day to do something for God. And some of you, if you're not very young, you ain't got much time. Now, that's just a harsh truth, but you don't have much time. And if you spend all your life and you do the bare minimum for God, you have not done well neither. Because there is a 1 mile Christianity and there is the second milers. Jesus said, if a man asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. His interest is in the second milers. Because 1 mile is already expected of you. But going the second mile is what makes the distinction. What makes a great difference. I say that to say, folks, listen. Jesus wants them to observe. Why? Because in observing, they would see the evidence. The evidence will tell them, listen, hey, the harvest is already ripe. It needs to be harvest today, not tomorrow, not 4 months from now, but today. Because if you leave 4 months from now, everything that was once ready and could have been harvest, it would perish. Folks, I'm saying there are a lot of souls that needs, listen, hey, somebody to share the gospel with them, not 5 months from now, not 6 months from now, not 4 months from now. They need somebody that's going to share the gospel with them today. Somebody that's going to pick up the phone. You may have a friend, maybe a family member, maybe a coworker. You can go home, pick up the phone and tell them, listen, hey, my friend, if you die without God, you're going to end up in a Christless eternity. But somebody got to realize that the evidence tells us that life is filled with uncertainty and no man can tell when his last day would come upon the earth. And therefore, there is an urgency for you and I to tell men today and not wait until tomorrow to tell them about God. Amen. Because tomorrow going to be too late for some people. That's just the truth. And you know what? Many of us will have to live with the blood on our hands because some of them will be our neighbors. But we're waiting for the most acceptable time to tell them. You know what I find funny? Granny used to say, listen, she said, son, you never put off what you could do today for tomorrow. She said, if you could do something today, do it today. Do not put it off for tomorrow. You know, Satan is the one individual that seems to be working double time and time plus time and overtime. Satan never seems to take up. You ever read the Bible and Satan on vacation? You never see it in the Bible. He is never taking a break from trying to ruin people's life. But how often we see God's people take a break. Listen, hey, they say, listen, man, I just need a break. A break to do what? May I say to us, even if you're on vacation, you still have a duty and responsibility to tell the waitress that if you die without God, you're going to go to hell. You could be on break all you want. You meet the hotel manager, you still have a responsibility to tell them that if they die without God, they're going to go to hell. And you don't have to be rude about it. You can be nice and gentle. But they need to know, even though you're there on your holiday, husband and wife and children and your enjoying all the vacation. Nothing and wrong with telling somebody that you meet by the ocean, my friend, if you die without God, you're going to go to hell. Nothing and wrong with that. You could never be too busy to tell somebody about God, because eternity has no end. And when a man lives this world, you don't get to relieve, you don't get to repent, you don't get to redo your life. Listen, hey, when they leave here, that is final. It is important that we understand the evidence is set before them. They understand the earnestness, how serious the situation is. But they must understand eventually what will happen, excepting they stepped in and they get involved and they get engaged, that every last soul, listen, hey, 4 months later might very well perish. How many times, listen, we have seen a natural disaster came out of nowhere and kill millions of people. Listen, hey, thousands of people and hundreds of people. Think about it. Not so long in Venezuela, listen, hey, the earthquake came and it killed how much thousand people. Why? Because they were not ready. I'm just telling you the honest truth. The unexpected oftentimes happen. And that's why it is important for us as God's people to use God's time wisely to ensure that we're sharing the gospel of the grace of God. Tell somebody. Let somebody know. My friend, Jesus loves you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. He's the only way for mankind. Observation. Jesus wanted them to participate. Why tell somebody? Jesus telling them, and he's drawing it to their attention because he wants them to participate. He wants their participation. He wants them to do something about it. He already told them that his meat is to do the will of him that sent him and to finish it. So he's telling them, listen, hey, if you look, you're going to see there is a need. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. If you look, you're going to see that there is a need. And sometimes you can say, listen, well, God sent him. Here am I, God, but send him. Sometimes it don't work that way. Sometimes you got to be willing to say, God, listen, hey, God, I may not be overseas, but God, I can go over the street, God. I can cross the state line, God. And God, I will tell somebody, listen, hey, because now you're not just seeing the need. Now you're willing to engage and to participate and to indulge. Listen, I'm saying that because our churches would be better off. Our communities will be better off. Listen, hey, our homes and households would be far better off. If God's people, listen, hey, we would just have a heart enough, listen, hey, to be busy and occupy telling people about God and watching God change life. Folks, I am living proof that the message works. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to water it down. It works just fine. But somebody got to be willing to participate. Somebody got to be willing to say, preacher, I'm willing to do what I can. Even if you don't have to cross the ocean, do what you can, folks. Don't let time pass you by. And don't let you run out on you. And then you got to look back and start to sing wasted years. Oh, how foolish. You wasted so much years. And for what? We know this life ain't going to be forever. Solomon tell us, listen, man, all is vanity. He said the world is full of vanity. Emptiness. He said it doesn't satisfy the soul. Because God didn't create this world to be what satisfies mankind. God himself is the only one that can fill the void. That gives satisfaction. I tell you, when I get out there and I do God's work and I come home in the night to sleep, I sleep like a baby. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I just sleep as a baby. Why? Because I understand, listen, I am doing what God has called me and asked me to do. So I go home and I sleep like a baby. And I get up the next day again and I look for the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Because I understand the need to participate. But not just the participation I want you to see. Notice what God said. Compensation. Watch the text. Notice what the Bible says. The The Bible said, and he that reapeth receiveth wage and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, I just want to share that with you quickly and then I'll close. I'll zip them out. But notice what the Bible says here. The Bible is telling us, imagine you and I owe God everything. And yet for all, God is telling us that if you get involved in his work, if you participate, he is going to reward you. Reward us for what? Because the truth is, all that we do for God should have been just done out of bare gratitude for who God is as a person, but what he did for us as people. Listen, that should be sufficient. Why? Because we owe God a lifetime of debt that, listen, hey, you and I will not be able to pay. We can give God all the thanks. We can give him all the praise. Listen, hey, we can bow and bend in his oftentimes. But I'm telling you, it will never be sufficient for what God has done for you and for I. For God himself, the Bible said, listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us that God was willing to give the most precious, most valuable. Absolutely, there was nothing like him, and God gave him so that you and I could be saved. And that very same God, after saving us, God said, I want you to go into all the world and I want you to preach the gospel. And God is saying, if you indulge yourself, I will reward you. But you think about it. Do God really need to reward us? Because the last time I checked, it seems like you and I are the ones that owe God. It's not the other way around. God doesn't owe us nothing because he has given us everything. Some of us, we are grateful for the family that we have because God has been good to us. Had it not been for God, listen, hey, we would have never had the family we have. Some of us are grateful for the job that we have because God has provided for us in more ways than we can count. We are grateful for the church that we have, listen, hey, a place where we can worship and pray freely. We are grateful for our pastors, listen, hey, men of God, we know, listen, hey, that while we may be sleeping in the night, they're still on bending knees, begging God, beseeching God, saying, oh, God, help them. Listen, hey, we are grateful, listen, hey, for the community in which we live. In more ways than one, it's not reading with crime, listen, hey, and violence. We are grateful for the liberty and for the freedom we have, listen, hey, because God has been good. Whether you like it or not is the absolute truth. And I'm saying you and I owe God not some things, but everything in our life. We owe God yet for all. God said, listen, hey, if you get indulged in the work, I will. You'll get reward. Yeah, but God, you don't owe me nothing. But the Bible said he's a just God. The Bible said he's not unrighteous to forget. So we ought to labor. We ought to get involved, folks. Because the time, it's running out. The clock been ticking, folks, and it's moving fast. And I don't know how much longer you and I have to really do something for God. I don't know if the Lord going to come back before I finish do something for the Lord. But I'm hoping with the little time that God give me, I'll try and make the best of it. I'm just saying the same for all of us tonight. We got to try to be good stewards of the time that God has entrusted us with. You go to the Walmart, walk with a gospel tract. If they can take your money, they could take the tract. I'm just going to be honest with you. Everywhere you go, where you got to spend, listen, once there is people and they're willing to receive it, they can take the tract. You give them. You don't got to be disrespectful. You be gentle, be nice, be respectful, speak the love. You could speak the truth in love, the Bible tells us. But you give them. I'm just saying, you just got to live in that mindset that every day is a day on the mission field. Every day, you seek an opportunity, even if it's just to tell one person, because you understand the urgency of time. And one more soul will be worth it all, even if it's just one more soul. Yeah. It's worth your time. Folks, I say this to say, time is of the essence, folks. And the clock is moving. We got to ask ourselves. Because God don't owe us, but yet he's willing to pay us. It reminds me that we do not serve God for free. Contrary to popular opinion, God has been more than good to us. And I'm living proof of that. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. The truth is God don't owe us. We owe him. And yet for all, God knows all that. And he's still willing to compensate us just to get involved in the most important work under heaven. Christ died so that sinners could be saved. It's good to be in church. It's good to be all of that. But if we're going to be in church and we don't get out there from time to time and tell somebody, We're doing a disservice to God still. We want to ensure that we get involved. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're middle-aged, wherever you rank yourself, there is work for everyone. Walk with a track. Just tell somebody. You got people who call you, checking, and you got family members who don't know God. Just checking on them. Tell them Jesus loved them, you're praying for them. You know, no need to be rude. But let them know that, listen, hey, that there is an answer, and his name is Jesus. Folks, time is moving. And you and I can observe, and we would see that to be true. But God needs us to participate, not just to observe and to see the need. He wants us to participate. But he reminded us that he would compensate us. For our job, really and truly, it's up to him to save souls. You and I can't save nobody. We just got to be obedient and faithful in doing what he has. Always be mindful, the operation is God's operation. It's not ours. God is still the one who saves. Not you, not I. It doesn't matter how eloquent you be. At the end of the day, God is the only one that has the ability to save. So let's use God's time wisely in trying to reach men for his honor and for his glory. Thank you, Pastor.